Among the news stories we're watching here at NPR today, Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is warning Palestinians that they're running out of time. Sharon says if Palestinians do not make moves towards peace within a few months, Israel will greatly accelerate construction of a security fence, which could cost the Palestinians land. And the New York Stock Exchange named the president of the Goldman Sachs Investment Serve, John Thain, as its new chief executive today. You can hear details on those stories coming up on All Things Considered from NPR News. Today, a federal appeals court ruled that President Bush does not have the power to detain an American citizen seized on U.S. soil as an enemy combatant. The ruling is a setback for the Bush administration's war on terror and a victory for Jose Padilla. Padilla is accused of being an al-Qaeda operative and has been in federal custody now for a year and a half. He's being held in a South Carolina naval brig. The 2-1 decision by the 2nd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals means that Padilla must be released from military custody within 30 days. A White House spokesman says the government will seek a stay of the ruling. Joining us now to walk us through the decision and its implications is David Savage. He covers the Supreme Court for the Los Angeles Times, and good to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Good to be with you.
Give us a little more detail about what the court ruled today.
Well, this is a case where the president and his lawyers had sort of gone the furthest out in the assertion of presidential power. They had sort of coined this term of enemy combatants. They had sort of relied on a World War II case involving Nazi saboteurs who were picked up in the United States. They applied the enemy combatant to a fellow named Hamdi, who was picked up in Afghanistan, was an American citizen. But the furthest one out was Jose Padilla, picked up at the O'Hare Airport, alleged to be involved in a dirty bomb plot. And basically the government said that it's up to the president alone, without the authority of the courts or Congress, that he can detain someone indefinitely as an enemy combatant, and that person cannot see a lawyer, can't talk to his family, can't do anything. And the appeals court basically rejected all that today on a 2-1 vote and said the Constitution doesn't give the president this power. Congress hasn't given the president this power. They sort of said Congress could, but in fact, in 1971, Congress passed a law that said you can't detain any citizen except pursuant to an act of Congress. That was an attempt to make sure that what happened with the Japanese internment during World War II
doesn't happen again.
Doesn't happen again. So Congress said you can't do it, and the court said today, if the Constitution doesn't allow it, federal law doesn't allow it, so therefore the president has exceeded his authority.
We're speaking with David Savage of the Los Angeles Times. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And David Savage, a 2-1 decision. Was there a strong dissent?
There was a partial dissent. This actually was an appeals court, by the way, that had one Clinton appointee, one judge who was originally appointed as a district judge by Clinton and elevated by George Bush, and one Bush appointee. The one Bush appointee, a judge named Richard Wesley, had sort of a partial dissent. He said, yes, I think the president has the authority to detain this individual, but I would also say that Padilla can see a lawyer and that the lawyer can contest the reasons for holding this guy. In other words, say he was not really involved in al-Qaeda and you should let him loose. So the dissenting judge would have allowed Padilla to at least go into court and fight his detention.
Now, does this mean, it's essentially a writ, they're granting the writ of habeas corpus, and
yes.
Does this mean that Padilla has, 30 days? If they don't charge him, he walks?
Yes, that's right, although I think both are unlikely. You know, as you said in the lead-in, the government will seek a stay. There's a good chance either the Second Circuit or the Supreme Court will stay this and take up the case and rule further. Even if they don't, let's say they surprise us and decide not to appeal it, then I think the government is free to then try to file criminal charges of some sort against him, and then we'll see what kind of case they really have against Padilla.
And the reason that they have held him incommunicado, at least their argument, is that he's being interrogated, and if he sees a lawyer, that could interrupt the flow of any information he might be able to provide about al-Qaeda.
Yes, I think that actually sounds like a compelling argument for about 6 weeks or 3 months or maybe 6 months. I think it gets a little more strained when you're a year and a half into this and they say we can't let him even talk to his lawyer because it would be some sort of threat to al-Qaeda. And this is one of these cases I thought the government could probably get away with doing this for a short time in an emergency basis, but at some point the courts were going to take up one of these cases and intervene. And this one was just sitting there, just sort of inviting some appeals court to do what the appeals court did today.
Now, as I understand it, as you mentioned, there's one other American citizen being held as an enemy combatant. Does this decision affect him?
No. The appeals court said we're not talking about somebody who's arrested overseas or in a combat zone. We're only speaking of an American citizen arrested at home and outside a combat zone. So, no, this doesn't apply to Hamdi.
Now, again, we're just talking about the two cases of American citizens who are being held as American combatants, and as you just heard, their situation is different. There are hundreds of men being held incommunicado at Guantanamo Bay. Today, the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said detainees at Guantanamo Naval Base in Cuba should have access to lawyers and to the American court system. We should note the Supreme Court last month agreed to decide whether those detainees picked up in Afghanistan and Pakistan should have access to the courts. Today's appeals court ruling stems from a petition from a relative of a Libyan citizen the U.S. military captured in Afghanistan, and it said the Bush administration's indefinite detention of the men runs contrary to American ideals. What do you make of that, given the Ninth Circuit ruling while the Supreme Court is already hearing this case?
I don't think that one's going to have as much impact for the reason you just said. The Supreme Court's already agreed to take this case up and decide on it. In fact, the Bush administration has been moving slowly to allow some of these men to have lawyers. So I actually think this would have been a bigger decision had it been handed down 3 months ago or 6 months ago. But the other courts are already moving in this direction on the Guantanamo issue.
You're saying it's moving slowly. As I understand it, of all those hundreds of men, they've allowed one so far to see a lawyer.
No, you're right. It's moving very slowly from their point of view, in fact, from anybody's point of view. But what I mean is that sometimes an appeals court will sort of break new ground and it leads to something else. I think the Supreme Court has already voted to take the Guantanamo case up and sort of review whether these people do have a right to go into court and challenge their convictions. And if the answer is yes, then the Ninth Circuit decision is meaningless. And if the Supreme Court's answer is no, the Ninth Circuit decision will be meaningless.
And I think you misspoke. You said their convictions. They haven't been charged with anything, much less convicted. They're just being held. David Savage, thanks very much.
Thank you, Neil.
David Savage covers the Supreme Court for the Los Angeles Times, and he joined us from his office in Washington, D.C. Again, this is another of those cases, those stories that we're following here at NPR News this afternoon, and you'll be able to hear the latest on these decisions, the 2nd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals decision in New York and the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals decision in San Francisco. You're listening to Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.